that I stand redeemed, my brother stood up, and I thought, man, I should have stood up too. Amen. Well, I'm sure glad my friend, Brother Jerry's here with us today. Brother Collins, we have good, now, I think 16 years ago was the last time he was here. We've been down to see him, and this is the man that we lost our van in Juarez. We didn't lose it. Somebody took it. But anyway, brand new conversion, Dodge, everything in van, scuba gear in it, photography equipment, all the kids' clothes, Bibles, everything. Isn't that right, brother? And when we finally got back to the U.S. in El Paso, we went to Walmart, and I bought a pack of T-shirts that averaged out for the boys. I bought a pack of undergarments that would average out. I bought them all a pair of blue jeans and toothpaste and a shirt and underarm deodorant, I think. And so... And amen. So it was quite a ride. Amen. We had 64 saved that week while we were down there. We had a great time. It was a very interesting time. And then all of a sudden, you know, Satan doesn't like that kind of stuff, so he wants to mess with us, you know. But Brother Jerry's been faithful down there. He was in Guerrero, and then he went to Los Mosas. And now he is in, I can't pronounce this one. I got to work on it. Amen. So, we praise God for what he has done. His dear, dear wife spoke to you ladies yesterday. What a wonderful lady she is. She's a kick. Even I asked her to come to our mini spectacular 2017. Our ladies loved her to death. And I said, you know, I'm gonna bring her back here. So, you know, and Jerry's got to come with her. So anyway, and they have a wonderful daughter named Angela. And I'll let you tell the rest of it. All right, brother.
Listen, man. Love you too. Amen. It's good to be here with you. My theory on that van, though, is that they were supposed to give that to us, and since they didn't, God went ahead and took it from them anyway. So I'm just teasing. Amen. Amen. We've always had bus ministries going to pick up people and all that. So I'm just teasing. Thank you so much for your hospitality and everything you've done for us. We have certainly enjoyed ourselves. It's just been a blessing to be here with you this year. Let's look at our Bibles this morning. John chapter 5, we're going to be at here for a few minutes, and we'll look to his word today. And just wonderful to be part of a missions conference. Wonderful to be part of our business meeting. This is the church's business meeting now, and we're deciding how far the gospel is going to go, how far the light is going to reach from Heritage Baptist Church in Great Falls, Montana. And this is this very important meeting that we're having here this morning. When we hand in these commitments we're going to be handing in this morning, very important. It's very important. We're deciding, Brother Shearer, Pastor Shearer, cannot do more than what we commit. The church cannot do more than what the members give. And so it's a very important time here this morning. John chapter 5, verse number 1 is where we're going to begin reading with this morning. If you'd follow along, the Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem a sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the water, the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that you've given to us, for the gospel that we have, for salvation that's been freely given to us. Lord, this morning I do ask you to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd put an amount on our hearts. Not that we just give anything. Not that we just do what we'd like to do. But rather we would do what you would have us to do. Father, we thank you for the privilege of what you've done in our lives. For your name we ask it. Amen. This morning I want to spend a few minutes really thinking about a simple question that the Lord Jesus Christ asked. Here in verse number six, the latter part says, He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Folks, I want to speak for a few minutes about being made whole. You know, as we look at the Bible, we realize today we have the truth. And when we're in the mission field, we find out that the lie has already been there. We find out the false cults, they're already there. We find out all the different religions that are out there today, they're already there. But folks, we have the truth. We have the cure. We have the commission from God to get the gospel to the world. And folks, we have the means by which we need to get the gospel to the world. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19. I challenge you to read that chapter sometime before the end of the day. Philippians chapter 4. Because we look at that promise, God shall supply our need. We need to realize who He's talking to. Folks, when we're out just spending our money, wasting what we have, being poor about what we're doing with it, we can't claim this verse now. This verse is directed to a certain group of people. I'd like for you to read it sometime when you have before the end of the day. What I want to realize is Jesus asked a specific question. Wilt thou be made whole? First of all, I want to realize, you know, Jesus, He is always in the middle of where the need is. Verse number 3, the Bible says that in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Jesus Christ went where the need was. Jesus Christ noticed where the need was. He was in the area to be able to see where the need is. Folks, when we look at the missions conference this week, we've had an opportunity to see where the need is. Brother Mike, he preached last night. He talked about Nicaragua last night. That was an area where we could see the need. Those that wasn't here last night missed seeing the need. We realized Jesus, he saw the need. As He saw the need, He was moved to do something about the need. The Bible says that our eye affects our heart. In other words, what we see is going to make a difference. Now, folks, if we walk around with blinders, walk around with our eyes closed, we'll not see the need. If we do not see the need, our heart will not be moved toward the need. Jesus now, He was there. He lifted up His eyes. He saw it. He is concerned about the need of the salvation of the world. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's concerned about our need. He sees our need. Not what we think we need, but He sees that which we need. He looks at the world for the real need. We realize that Jesus not only did see the need, but He responded to the need. We realize that He was desiring on that. I noticed another thing about that. Not only was Jesus in the area where the need was, I realized we have a man that was in a hopeless condition. Verse number 5 says, And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. A man for 38 years sitting by the water, by the pool that was there. The Bible tells an angel came down, moved the water. As the water was being moved, the first one to get in was the one that was going to be made whole. Now for 38 years, he had been trying to be that first one. And for 38 years, he didn't make it. For 38 years, his desire was to get into that pool. And for 38 years, he didn't get into that pool. Now, folks, I hate to give him the bad news, but if he's been working at it for 38 years, I doubt if he's going to make it. I think his hope is already lost. I don't think he has an opportunity. I don't think he has a chance in the world. If he couldn't make it when he was younger, I don't think he's going to make it while he's older. If he couldn't do it when he had another opportunity, I doubt he's going to make it this opportunity. Basically, what he had was a hopeless man. Folks, without the Word of God, the world is without hope. Without the preaching of the gospel, the world is without hope. There are people that have hope and desire and faith, but they have faith placed in a vain doctrine, a vain belief.
And so the world today is looking and they're wishing and they're hoping, but they don't have the real hope because they do not have the gospel. When you go to the world and you talk to people about salvation, they respond a little different than people around here do to salvation. Many times we've heard salvation so many times that we get callous to salvation. We hear about God's working so many times, we aren't moved by His working anymore. We hear all the preaching week after week that now the preaching just doesn't do a whole lot to us anymore. Folks, when we look at the world today, they've not had that opportunity. I don't know how many people have talked about Christ, and the response is, well, who wouldn't want to receive Christ? Who wouldn't want to be saved? Who wouldn't want a home in heaven? Folks, we realize the world today needs the Word of God to be able to be saved. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, just listen for a moment. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wonderful verse. Followed up by, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who then believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Folks, what we're talking about this week is being able to send. Why? Well, when we're able to send, then they'll be able to preach. Then what's going to happen? As they preach, they'll begin to hear. As they hear, they'll have an opportunity to be saved. Folks, it all comes and it starts by the sending of the Word of God. Folks, it's the Word of God that makes the difference in our hearts. It's the Word of God that makes the difference in the hearts of those that are in the world. Folks, today we realize Jesus was there. He was in the middle of the need. We realize Jesus was there and He found a man that was in a hopeless condition. Now I want to look at the third thing here this morning, and that's the question. We look at this question, which many times we go over this portion of Scripture, and we really don't pay attention to what's actually happening. You know, Jesus asked a question there in verse number 6. Wilt thou be made whole? Now, I want to think about that for a moment. Jesus walks into an area where a man's been laying by the water, by the pool. He'd been waiting now for 38 years. And Jesus walks up to him with a question. And that question is, wilt thou be made whole? Now, folks, I want to think about that for a moment. That's kind of an obvious question. That's kind of a question that really doesn't need to be asked if you look at it. And he wasn't there getting a suntan. He wasn't waiting for the meal to be brought to him. He wasn't laid out on a nice hammock having a good time. No, he'd been waiting now for 38 years. Now, Jesus knew he'd been waiting there for 38 years. And so Jesus comes up and asks him a question, a very strange question. Wilt thou be made whole? Now, folks, I want to address that to us this morning. And I want to spend a few minutes about being made whole. Most Christians are not whole. Most Christians do not have what it takes to be a complete Christian. Now, I want to think about that for a moment. He looks at a man, wilt thou be made whole? Now, folks, the answer was also a very simple answer. The question was simple. The answer also would be simple. If we were to ask that man, wilt thou be made whole? The answer should be yes. Or the answer should be no. We find out the man does not answer the question. You know, I'm the type of person, and my kids know me well, and when I ask them a question, I want the answer. When I ask them a question, I don't want somebody else giving the answer. Sometimes I'll be dealing with some child in our church, and the mother's sitting there so innocent and so wanting to help, you know, and I'll ask the little boy about something about his salvation, and the mother will want to answer. And I'll say, I appreciate your help, but would you mind just sitting there and being quiet for a few minutes? I'm not that rude and that mean, but the truth is, I want that person to answer. You know, Jesus was standing there, and he asked a question, wilt thou be made whole? What was his answer? Well, his answer was, I have no man. His answer was, while somebody's trying to get in, they're beating me to it. Now, Jesus, he's much nicer than I am, because if he would have done that to me, I'd say, well, have a good day, sir. And you can just keep trying at it. If that's what you're wanting, then that's what you're going to get. You know, many times in our life, we're presented with a way to be made whole. But rather than being made whole, we leave less than whole. So I want to look at this man for a moment. As he did not ask that question, I want to look at his excuses. His excuse number one is, I have no man. Now folks, there was some validity to that answer. He didn't have some that would help him. For 38 years, no one was concerned about him. For 38 years, it was first come, first served. For 38 years, the strong shall reign. I mean, if I can get in quicker than you, you're just going to have to wait another one or another time around. For 38 years, he failed at it because he didn't have someone. Folks, the world is full of people that has no man. Folks, we'll never understand the difference in the lives of people when we send a missionary to their land.
Right.
I wish you had time to come back and just meet some people, after people, after people, that are so thankful, not for me, for you. Quite frequently, when we have testimonies, people give thanks to God for the United States that has sent a missionary to their town, that's got the gospel to them and their family, that now know how to worship God truly. And folks, they understand how this missionary arrives into their land. They know that it's not just simply some rich man that's able to just simply do it. And folks, if I didn't have the help of churches, I couldn't do it. How shall they preach except they be sent? Folks, every month that you send that mission support, that missionary is able to do a little more.
Amen.
Folks, most of my limitations on the field is a financial limitation. If I had more, I'd do more. I always love that when people ask, well, Brother Collins, how much do you need on the foreign field? My answer generally is all of it. How much do you need? I need all of it. I need everything I can get. The more I get, the more I'll do. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is I have to pay for gasoline too. The bottom line is it costs me to live in a house too. The bottom line is they're not giving it away either. The bottom line is helping men to get further, I can't do any more than what I have. What I'm saying is it takes the sending to get the preaching. So we look at a man that's standing there, and he has no man. Then another thing we notice about him, he said, another step it down before me. What is he saying? Well, somebody's always in my way. You know, many times we live our Christian life with somebody always in my way. Well, I'd like to be doing more, but man, this guy's always in my way. I'd like to be doing this or that or the other, but there's already somebody there. Well, I had a guy like that in our church one time. I mean, he always volunteered after somebody took a position. He always wanted that position. Many times we live our lives always bothered by people. Folks, the truth is, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be a complete Christian? Now, folks, what we're talking about in missions conference this week is being made whole. Folks, when you give in your faith promise missions, you're enabling some missionary to preach a little further. The Bible says, I'm not going to bring it to you, but the Bible says that there's fruit that's to your account. When you send, you gain. Now, let me let you on a secret here. You are not doing a favor for the missionary by supporting you. He's doing a favor to you by taking your support.
Amen.
Missionary's going to get there. God's going to send him.
That's right.
He doesn't need you. He needs churches.
Right.
Those that decide to get involved, they'll be the ones getting that fruit to their account.
Right.
Now, you don't have to support missionaries. You can pack your bags up, get you an airplane ticket, and go over and do it. Far easier
to support. Folks, we talk about being made whole. You know, when Jesus heals, it says immediately the man was made whole. Folks, what we need are whole Christians. This week we're dealing with faith promise missions. You have the card. You have the commitment. You have an opportunity. I know many of you here already give, and I understand that. I know many are already faithful, and I commend you for that. But it's a new year.
Amen.
We have new needs. You know, it costs more to live than it used to. Missionaries sometimes suffer because they don't have enough.
Yep.
New men are trying to get to the field. I'm going to have Brother Mike, he doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to come to our church and present his ministry to our church. That's going to be happening probably 40 years out. What am I saying? Folks, we want to be whole. Heritage Baptist Church needs to be a whole church. That whole church comes by answering the question. We need to learn to stop the excuses. Well, Lord, I would, but I just don't have enough money. Lord, I would, but I just can't make it work. Lord, I would, but always with the excuses. That's what that man was. A simple yes. And immediately, stretch out his hand and made him whole. Folks, this morning, I want to think about being made whole. My challenge to you is, walk out this morning a whole Christian. Because a Christian life is a growth. It's a life of growth. It's a life of adjustment. None of us are perfect Christians. None of us. We're always working toward it. We're always finding a weakness and filling it in. We're always finding a need and fulfilling that need. We're always looking for a new area to go and trying to get that in our lives. It's just a new area. Being made whole. People are waiting. Might be one here that today that doesn't know Christ as Savior. If you don't know Him as Savior, if He's not your Savior, you're not whole. You need to accept Him as your Lord and Savior to be made whole. Let's bow our heads for a moment this morning. We have a word of prayer. I'm going to turn this over to the pastor this morning for the invitation. Wilt thou be made whole? Father, we thank You for the privilege of serving You. Lord, thank You for what You've done in our lives. Lord, this morning, I do ask You to touch our hearts. Lord, give us that amount. Father, if there wouldn't be here not saved, I pray that they'd accept You today. For it's Your name we ask it. Heads bowed, eyes closed, preacher.
Head bowed, eyes closed. You hear today and you say, preacher, you know, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure. I don't really understand any of this today. Well, you know what? God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son for you. Died on the cross, rose on the third day so that you could have life everlasting. Jesus said, I would that none should perish, but all have everlasting life. It's a wonderful thing to know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven. The way the world is going today, we don't have a hope for tomorrow. Man has no promise of tomorrow, never has. You know, so that's the challenge today, that you receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. If you're here today and you say, preacher, there's some things in my heart and my life, you know, God's really speaking to me about missions and really speaking about giving. I really need your prayers today that God would certainly help us. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts, Lord, as we have this time of invitation. Lord, I pray if there be anyone here not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, they're not 100% sure that if they died today, they'd go to heaven. Lord, today I pray that we could show them from the Word of God. We're not here to make Baptists out of here. We're here to show them how that they can know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, which is the most important thing of life. Lord, others who are contemplating their giving, I pray, God, You'd work in their lives. Lord, now speak to our hearts. Can I ask everybody to stand to your feet? Head your bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm just not sure. I don't know if I'd die today, I'd go to heaven. But boy, I'd sure like to know that today. That's a very, very important. My friend, that is the most important thing of your life. To know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. I'm going to be up here in front. You come on down. an invitation. We invite you. That's an invitation. And we invite you to come to Christ today. You come. You heard Dave say, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I can go to heaven or not, but I'd like to know that. Why don't you come? Let me show you from the Bible. I can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven." You hear Dave say, "Preacher, you know what? I'm saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's baptism yet. Why don't you come and take care of that today?" You hear Dave say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve at. Why don't you come at this time? Why don't you come?"